Today's episode is sponsored by Soli Fruit Jerky. Soli Fruit Jerky is made with only one or two ingredients, and I'm talking like a whole banana and a handful of pecans. The banana pecan Soli Fruit Jerky is to die for, probably my favorite one, but they have a million. They have a mango one, they have a pineapple one, and you guys know I'm big on health and clean eating, and these have no added sugars or preservatives. They are what they are, and lonely isn't only is amazing. These Soli Fruit Jerkies, guys, you can get them on Amazon. You can also check out the links in this podcast episode for more information on Soli. And did I mention my kid loves them too? Hashtag mom win when we're running out the door to sports and different school activities. Now he has a quick, delicious, and clean snack. Check it out.
I'm super happy. Are you happy? Welcome to the Be You, Find Happy podcast. Here you'll find tips and tricks to inspire you on your way to happiness, to live a courageous life of authenticity, and learn how to speak your truth with grace. I'm Michaela Johnson, and welcome to our podcast. Nina?
Yes, Michaela?
Yes, I'm here. Yay.
Awesome.
Well, I'm so happy you're here today to talk all things fitness. Actually, it's been a while since we've had a fitness-oriented person. I've had a lot of, metaphysical people and a lot of health in the way of diet people on, but I've not had a fitness person on in a while. So I'm just excited to kind of talk all things fitness. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about who you are?
Yeah. So my name is Nina Fuentes, and I am a vegan fitness coach. So I'm specialized in vegan plant-based nutrition, certified in plant-based nutrition, as well as a certified personal trainer as well. And I started on this journey about 2 years ago, I want to say. Prior to that, my original training, my background is in engineering. So I did, 4 years of mechanical engineering in college, and then I worked for 5 years in an engineering company in Indiana. But then I realized that I couldn't do that for the rest of my life. It just wasn't jamming well with my personality. So I figured, I need to find a new business venture for myself to be able to work from anywhere and spend more time with my family, my husband, and my loved ones in general. And I understood that if I could figure out fitness for myself, I could also help other people and make a living out of it at the same time. So I would like hit, multiple birds with one single stone. So that's kind of what brought me to doing what I'm doing today.
That's so fantastic. And to go from engineering to that, what a change.
So yeah, I know.
were you afraid to initially take the leap and kind of leave what was probably a little bit comfortable to something that was a little bit unknown?
Yeah, well, I think I was a little bit not scared, but for a couple months maybe, but I was mostly excited because working for myself was more of the opportunity to manage my time more so the way that I wanted to, and give me more freedom with moving to different locations. So currently I live in Indiana, but I'm originally from Martinique in the Caribbean. So I did not grow up with four seasons. I didn't really learn how to manage the winter blues. And that's something that definitely gets to me every year. And I tend to always forget when the summer comes, how bad it gets. But having that opportunity to move away and kind of breaking free from it was a lot more enticing than leaving the comfort, because although I was working as an engineer and I was making, a decent amount of money compared to like the average person, I didn't feel like I was free. I felt trapped in a certain way, because I would get up, get ready, go to work, do my job, inside of an office, come back out. By that time, it's dark outside most of the time, and then come home, barely see my husband, barely have time to talk to my family. So I was more excited to get out of that cycle than worried about the downside of not having the comfort.
And I think from that place of kind of unhappiness, so much positive growth can happen when you kind of get to that point where you're like, I'm done. I'm ready for something different. Yeah. That's really special. That's really fantastic. So you, you help women achieve optimum health. How do you do that?
Yes. So to me, being able to achieve optimum health, I kind of have a small of a pet peeve with, you know, the health and fitness industry. And what I see often happening is that people who focus on the fitness side focus a lot on looks and the way that you look. So you have all the bodybuilders on one side and the fitness trainers on one side, that all that matters is to exercise and, you know, train hard, or it doesn't matter if your diet is balanced or not. And as long as you're looking good, that's fantastic. And that's where, you know, the weight loss aspect comes from. It's from like a lot of exercising. And then you have the other side, which is the health side, which focuses on nutrition. And you have the dietitians and nutritionists and all the people on that side. And they focus a lot on, you know, getting you the right nutrients and making sure that you're healthy from like the lab's standpoint, but it doesn't necessarily matter as much on how you look. Where I'm coming from, I do believe that the way that you look is directly linked to the way that you, like, how healthy you are. Because even if someone is eating all of the right foods, quotation marks, and they're still like 50 pounds overweight, that overweight, this extra amount of pounds that they have on is not healthy in the long term. And that means that something has not been dialed in properly in their routine. Maybe they don't have enough muscles on their body to be able to sustain the amount of energy that they're consuming. Or maybe they've been too sedentary and they're just sitting all day. So just because someone is eating the right foods, quotation mark, or because they're exercising every day, it doesn't mean that they have the full picture. Doing both come hand in hand. And that's where I come in.
I like that. And I think that, you know, there's been a recent push for like big is beautiful and not to get caught up with weight and, you know, things like that, and embrace your cellulite stuff. Like, what do you think about that? What do you think about that new kind of
mindset? Well, I don't know if you're familiar with like the Jillian Michaels, kind of dilemma or controversy when she was not necessarily talking about like Lizzo, but she was talking about people that were celebrating for being bigger. And I 100% agree with what she was saying. And she wasn't, I don't believe that someone should be bullied because of the way that they look, right? Like, let's make this extremely clear. That's not something that should be done. No one should be judged by their outside appearance. That is not something that is true. However, if someone is overweight and maybe they're struggling with exercising or eating healthy, maybe they're not. But if someone is overweight and someone else comes in and tells them, well, maybe you could lose a little bit of weight, I don't think that it's a bad thing to want to be smaller. And the reason I say that is because being overweight is associated with so many illnesses, diabetes, heart attack, stroke, dementia. And then in the long run, if you're not being active in your lifestyle, you're also going to have to deal with more fragile bones, not reduced range of mobility. So it directly correlates with your quality of life in the long term. No matter what people say, no matter how body positivity comes out, being okay with being overweight, it has to be a balance. It has to be a balance of accepting yourself for who you are, because your self-worth is not tied to the way that you look. However, your health is tied to the way that you look.
Yeah. And it's absolutely true. I mean, that's just the reality of it. Humans,
right,
were never meant to be as sedentary as we are. We were supposed to work harder for our food and for our heat and for our...
Exactly.
And so one of the things that that you've talked about is the hourglass shape. And why is it ideal? Why is the hourglass shape healthier?
Yeah. So, you know, I've always wanted to look good. So most women want to look very feminine. And from our evolutionary standpoint, men and women are more attracted to a more hourglass shape when it comes to the female body, because, you know, having a large breast signals that maybe they are more apt to reproduce. Having larger hips mean that they are more prone to be able to give birth easily. So whether that's true or not, because we all know that all shapes and sizes do not affect your reproductive system, that's just the way that we are built now, which is why we're attracted to that shape. Now, trying to build an hourglass body, the way that I teach how to do it is to focus on increasing your muscle mass in strategic areas, such as your glutes, your upper back, your legs as well, and your back, just becoming very much stronger overall. And the focus on, you know, your glutes and your back is good for your health, because most of us are being sedentary. So when we sit all day, our glutes, they just go to sleep. However, we still need to be walking throughout the day. We still need to be moving. We still need to be able to perform our hinging pattern. And by exercising that muscle more prominently, not only do you get a more desirable shape, but also you have an improved range of mobility. You have a better kinematic aspect in your body as well. Not only that, when you are exercising your upper body, so your back muscles, like you were saying before, we are very sedentary in our work. We spend all of our days in front of a computer. So what happens over time is that we tend to really be hunched over and have very shortened pecs. Whereas if you are exercising your back, you're able to, with getting those muscles stronger, create a better posture, which means that in the long term, you'll have a better quality of life as well.
So as you were talking about that and sitting, I'm sitting. One of the things I was thinking about was maybe I should stand up. But is getting saggy just a part of aging, or can you counter that with exercise?
I think it's so our skin is going to become more looser. As we age, our cells are not able to replicate as well as they did when we were younger. And that is part of aging. However, that being said, a lot of the sagginess that comes with aging from most people is due to the accumulation of fat underneath their muscle or their skin tissue. So if someone has a good amount of body fat, and if they have sufficient amount of muscles to fill up that space, the sagginess is a lot less noticeable than for someone that has not been exercising, hasn't built any muscle, has been sitting for most of their lives, maybe had a couple children in the process, and never really took active action to be able to reverse that. And I know plenty of older women, which is one of my motivations when I was getting started with fitness, who looked better than I did when I started my own journey. So it is not something that has to happen to everyone. Of course, genetics play a role. Of course, aging is going to make the skin a little bit less bouncy than it used to be. But that's something that definitely can be mitigated with proper nutrition and proper exercise.
And so one of the things that I see is that sustainability is a problem. Like, especially this time of year, you know, people get so excited for their new year, new bod, new me, whatever. And, you know, they get all gung-ho on, like, I'm going to eat this way, I'm going to exercise this way, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And then it just peters out. And and they didn't pick something that they could actually do every day, you know, for long periods of time. What do you say to that? What do you suggest for people that kind of jump on board with something and then it fizzles out in a week or two?
A month or two? Well, first of all, I would say don't jump on board with anything. Always have the end in mind. And to achieve any sustainable success, we all have to make permanent changes. A lot of the women that I talk to are under the impression that it is possible to go on maybe an extreme diet for a short amount of time and then reach their body weight goal. And then after that, just be able to maintain that. But it's somehow, every time that we do that, we go on to an extreme diet and we reach our body goals, quotation mark, what happens is once we try to maintain that, somehow that never can happen. We're always getting the weight back or more. And the key to sustaining a proper weight or your end goal is to make permanent changes and being able to achieve a certain energy balance. Because I think I talked about that a little bit earlier. Whenever you're trying to maintain a certain weight, whenever you're trying to maintain a certain physique, you have to be able to consume the same amount of calories than you are putting out. So that's the concepts of calories in versus calories out. So if you're eating a certain amount of energy, if you're excreting that same amount, you're going to stay at the exact same level, no matter, you know, what age you are, where your genetics are. That's just the principles that are there. Now, if you're trying to lose weight, what happens with most people and most programs is that they're going to try to reduce the amount of calories that are being eaten by a lot. And that is very drastic. That tends to lead us to be extremely hungry in the long term. And then by the end, all we've done is signal to our brains that in order to lose weight, we have to do something extreme, which puts us in the stage where we feel like we're going to die. So it becomes harder and harder and harder over time to get started, because deep down we know that it's going to be a terrible experience overall. So to anyone who is trying to make changes and really get on board, the best thing that I would say, and that probably doesn't come as a surprise to anyone, is to pick something small, right? Like, in order to be able to eat properly on a regular basis, you have to prepare your own food. You have to meal plan. You have to be prepared throughout the week. So instead of saying, okay, I'm done with everything, I'm not eating any more sugar, I'm not eating any more candy, like this is over for like until I reach my weight goal, instead make a small commitment that you know you can keep. So if, for example, you're eating out like 6 days a week, pick one day of the week that you're not going to eat out. One day that you're going to prepare your meal and eat that, and that's going to be one day of the week that you're doing it. Then once you've done that, then you add another day. Then you add another day. Then you add another day. And before you know it, you're eating, you're not eating out 6 days out of the week, as opposed to trying to start everything at once, putting your body into shock, and then not being able to continue long term. The same thing comes with for exercise. Instead of saying, okay, from now on, I'm going to be running for an hour every day. I'll run 10 miles every day. No. Start with maybe 15 minutes per day. If you can commit to 15 minutes per day of walking or movement, any type of movement, you start with that. Then, as you get used to doing that, you can increase the amount of time that you are spending moving. Then you can increase. Let's say you get to about an hour. That's what I recommend people to have as a dedicated time for exercise per day. So have about an hour. Once you have that incremented into your schedule, then at that point, you can start saying, okay, what exactly do I want to do so I can start, you know, building muscle, so I can start reshaping my body. But before we have that basis, the patterns and the habits in place, it becomes very difficult to stick to anything, because we try to start from scratch, and we try to start without any preparation in advance, and it becomes a lot easier to crash later on.
So what about the people that are meal planning and are, you know, doing everything that they're supposed to be doing? They're exercising 30 minutes daily and all that. They're just plateaued. They just can't lose anymore. What about those people?
Yeah. So first of all, congratulations to anyone who is doing all of these things, who is meal prepping and who is exercising. There's a couple of things that can be done. The first thing that I would recommend is to start by tracking your food intake. Because although you might be meal prepping, you might not realizing that there's like a candy bar or two that gets slipped into your regimen. Maybe you started very clean with the type of food that you're eating, but over time you started implementing, you know, maybe more fatty foods, maybe changing your proportions and eating foods that are a little bit more higher in calories. So doing a an audit of the way that you're eating, maybe for a week, just keeping track, keeping a journal, seeing what you're eating, that might reveal where the issues might be. So that would be like the first step. Then in terms of exercising, if someone is trying to lose weight, the first thing that I would look at is first the nutrition. So that would be the first one. The second part is, okay, you're exercising 30 minutes a day. That's fantastic. Now, for your exercise to be efficient, it has to put your body into a certain degree of stress. So there's multiple ways you can increase the amount of calories that you're burning per day. You can, you know, move more with cardio, but my favorite way is to build muscle. And the reason for that is when you build muscle, you're actually able to burn calories while you're exercising. You burn calories while your muscles are rebuilding themselves, and you burn more calories overall, because we all know that muscle burns more calories than fat. So you get three steps instead of just burning calories while you're exercising when you're doing cardio. So that's why it's my favorite way of increasing the metabolism. Now, to be able to achieve muscle gains, there is a certain science that comes to that behind that. You have to be able to apply more load every time that you are exercising. And I really recommend anyone who is going on that path and has no idea of what they're doing to work with a trainer, because they'll be able to help with teaching you the proper form, teaching you what progression you should be doing, and really coaching you around the gym and all that. So I really recommend doing that. But when it comes to plateauing, the biggest thing would be to analyzing the patterns that you're in. Are you eating the proper foods? Are you maybe you're always meal prepping, but your foods have too much calories in them? Or maybe you're exercising, but the exercise that you're doing is not burning enough calories. It's always a matter of of energy balance. So how many calories are you putting in? How many calories are you putting out? And if nothing is different, you're going to be stuck at a plateau. So it's a matter of figuring out where you need to make the change.
Yeah, that's good. And I mean, even what she said too about, you know, little slip ups here and there, you don't even think about them, but they add up to a lot at the end of the day. Just a handful of gummy bears even can add up to a lot.
Absolutely.
So what do you think about cheat days and kind of talking about that? I mean, nobody wants to live a life where, you know, they're at a birthday party and can't have a piece of cake.
Yeah.
But how do you tackle those? How do you look at those?
Yeah. I always try to come from a sustainable standpoint. So never having a cheat day is already out of the question, because life is going to happen and you still have to go to birthday parties, right?
Yeah.
At the same time, myself, it kind of depends of where the person is coming from. If they are very, I don't want to say strict, but if they have a very high level of discipline, if when they were growing up in their families, you know, what they were used to eating were fruits and vegetables, and that's just what they were doing, they might be able to go back and having a diet that's clean most of the time. Myself, I know I had a very big Reese's addiction, and I didn't realize how many Reese's I was eating until one of my coworkers was like, "Well, Nina, you eat Reese's every day." And now, as I was talking about how healthy I was eating, and I was like, "Well, you're right. I have no excuse here. You're correct. I eat Reese's every day. We have to fix that." So I was like, "Okay, I've tried to quit Reese's. I've tried to quit chocolate before, you know, and that never worked. I would last for a week, 2 weeks, a month maybe, but then once I had a small piece, it wouldn't end up in a binge. So in order for you to be able to stay consistent, or whoever is listening to be able to stay consistent, what I would recommend is to space out the foods that you know are not contributing to getting you closer to your goals. So let's say you have an addiction like I did. Let's try to space it out for every 2 days. Then when that feels good, then space it out for every 3 days. And it's always a progression that would be recommended. Now, myself, I have a cheat day every weekend, because there's things around me that I want to eat. And by putting it in a box, it helps with first letting me know that it's not a matter of the fact that I can never have it. It just means that I can't have it right now, which is a lot easier of a conversation to have with my mind than to say, I can never have it, so I'll never have it. Because every time we hear the word never, our mind says, we have to have that thing right now. So being able to tell your mind, like, you cannot have it right now, you'll have it later, is a lot more of an easier conversation to have. So I always recommend my clients to have a cheat day implemented so that they know, okay, I really wanted to have this, but it's not going towards my goal. Today is not the day that I said that I would have it. Let me just wait until Saturday or Sunday, whatever the case may be.
That makes a lot of sense. I like that. And when I was doing my detox, I did a 120-day detox, super long detox.
Wow.
And only the last 90 days were intensive in that way. But for me, if I had a bite, you know, my son would say, you're cheating, you're cheating. And I'm like, we need to stop looking at it like this.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is not mommy cheating. This is mommy making a conscious, intentional effort.
Yeah,
reward myself.
Yeah, and you know, like, I know you mentioned like the whole birthday party, and that's something that I've had to deal with when I was still working as an engineer, you know, towards the end of the year, when it's holiday season, we tend to have a lot more parties, a lot more treats that are coming into the office, and it can be a lot harder to resist during that time than throughout the rest of the year. So what I would do is kind of look at my whole week, like how many parties do I have throughout the week, and do I have to go to every one of them? Can I eat the meals that I want to eat that are going to take me towards my goals before I go to the party, so that once I'm there, I'm not tempted to eat too many high calorie foods. And then learning to say no throughout the rest of the year, but also forgiving yourself, knowing that December is not going to last for the whole year. So it's a matter of finding the right balance, understanding, you know, you cannot go to every single party and have all of the foods that are there at every party unless you're okay with gaining a couple pounds over the winter. It's like making the choice and deciding what you want for yourself.
Absolutely. I love that. And so I'd like to transition and talk a little bit about how you're a plant-based coach.
Yes.
And I want to understand a little bit about why you feel that's important. When I was in the last 45, 60 days of my detox, I was fully plant-based, but I made an intentional choice to, while I did not add back in 90%, I am pescatarian, so I will eat eggs and fish. But you know, when people talk to me about that, one of the things for me is that my lifestyle change has been so positive in the way that my thyroid is functioning at the best it's ever functioned. I no longer have to take heartburn medicine of any kind, not even a Tums. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's just a blatant life improvement that I wouldn't want to go back on. A lot of people don't understand it, though. Yeah. And I still find it, and even in my immediate circle, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm getting the kind of goofy looks when I'm ordering at a restaurant, yeah. You know, and so I don't try to explain it away anymore. I just say, I prefer it. I prefer to eat this way, mm-hmm. But it is hard to, have a primarily plant-based life. I mean, it's not as hard, I don't find, in the way of like what you cook or anything. And I've actually ordered the purple carrot box. So I've gotten really creative. They send a box that I make everything, so I can get creative on different recipes and things like that, since I didn't grow up eating that way. I grew up eating macaroni and cheese with ground beef and green beans.
Yeah,
you know, canned green beans. So for me, you know, it doesn't come naturally to cook that way. So that's been a big part of it for me. But what do you say for people who are struggling against the outside influences?
Yes.
And what about not getting enough protein? You're not going to get enough protein. You know, what about all that? Because you're a fitness person, right? So you've
right.
got
to. You know, it's okay. So I'll tell you the short version of the story. So when I first got into fitness, you know, I really wanted to build muscle and transform my body. And when I was looking at who do I look up to, because when it comes to transforming your body, not only do you need to do the right exercising, the right movement, but you also have to eat the right diet. And all I heard was eat enough protein and be in a caloric deficit, meaning you're eating less calories than what you're burning. Now, everyone that I was looking at that was like very prominent into the fitness industry was all about, you know, your protein powder, your meats. And at that time, I did not want to be eating meat or powder. I was really wanting to do everything the most natural way possible without supplements, without, you know, pills or anything like that. And what I found is that there's a whole community of vegan bodybuilders out there that have built muscles on plants without any supplementation, and they all look amazing. It's easier for them to stay lean throughout the year. It's easier for them to go through a cut season and shred and lose the weight because they are able to eat more carbs, which is the body's main fuel source. And when they're in competitions, they don't feel depleted. They feel great. And I understood, I looked at the literature and I realized that what we believe is the amount of protein that we need, which is about like 1 gram per pounds is the general consensus, is basically twice the amount that we actually need. So like a woman, we need about 46 grams of protein for her to be healthy and alive. And most people are not at the level of athletes, bodybuilders, so we don't need the extra amount of calories that we need to build muscle. Just the regular amount is just enough. And to give you,
I watched that movie Game Changers mm-hmm. on Netflix, and that was
mind-blowing. Yes,
for
I know.
Me. I mean, and these people, I mean, are at the top of their game.
Yes. Yes.
And they're completely plant-based.
Yes. I absolutely loved it. I think so. I've been trying to get my husband to go plant-based for a long time. And we have this consensus that I do the groceries. So our groceries are fully vegan. But sometimes if you go on the weekend, you know, he'll have whatever he wants. But after he saw the movie, he was like, although I had been talking about this for years, after he saw the movie and saw the actual guys that I had been showing him on, you know, my Instagram and online, he was saying, you know, wow, I didn't realize that she could build muscle on plants. Like, now I'm a believer. This is the way to go. And I'm like, well, I'm glad this movie helped you see the light, because every person is different. Some methods might resonate with someone different. But overall, we don't need to worry about, you know, how much protein we get. It's so interesting that we all say, you know, every time someone goes vegan, you get asked, where do you get your protein from? But then what I would challenge anyone that who is going vegan and gets that question being asked, ask the person who is asking, where do you get your proteins from? Because oftentimes people don't know if they're getting enough protein or not. They just assume that because there is meat in their diet, or there is animal product in their diet, that they are consuming a good amount of protein. We don't know what the number is, but just because that's the general consensus, that's what the culture has out there, we believe that that's what is going to give us protein. Whereas there is protein in every single plant foods out there. Like the
I actually made a coconut black bean sweet potato stew last night.
That sounds amazing.
And it was so good. My son had 3 bowls, but my husband came home late from work and he goes, there's not enough. He goes,
there's not enough protein.
I can already tell there's too many vegetables in this and no meat. But then I was like, but so one of the things that I've actually started doing is I'll make a caraway vegan sage sausage mm-hmm. with roasted vegetables, but then I'll make him a real sausage.
Got it.
So,
got it.
You know, I mean, it kind of works out because I can usually supplement whatever it is I'm making with something that's a meat base for him, mm-hmm. you know, and my yeah. son too. And they seem happy with that. And he actually shocked me the other day. He was on the way home and he says, I'm going to stop off at the store and get stuff to make chicken fried steak for dinner. What would you like to eat?
Oh, that's nice. That's really sweet. That's really, really, really sweet.
It really was. And I was like, wow, I think that's like one of the first times that, you know, it is harder, you know, especially because we love to eat. We love mm-hmm. to eat out. We love mm-hmm. not out, but we like to go to nice, you know, dinners
yeah, and
like
that yes.
when we're traveling and stuff mm-hmm. and try different foods. And we're foodies. The good news about that is that, you know, being that I do eat fish and crab and lobster and stuff, like we could always find
right.
know, oysters, things like that. We can go to oyster bar together and stuff. And when we go to Thai food, it's fine. You know, I just we'll get the shrimp curry or whatever instead of, you know, mm-hmm. I did order a tofu curry the other day and he was like, but he had smoked tempeh the other day. I made some like vegan rolls with smoked tempeh and he actually really liked it. Like he was picking it out of the pan.
Yeah. So. People are surprised how good food can taste. I think the biggest thing that I understood was that the meat that we really enjoy eating, we don't necessarily enjoy eating it because it's meat, but it's because of the way it's prepared. So once
absolutely.
You, right? Yeah. So once you're able to master how to prepare vegetables with, you know, the same, you might need to add a little bit more oil because, you know, meat comes with a certain amount of fat, which helps with the flavoring. But once you're able to make your vegetables and get a similar texture and then be able to coat it in the same seasoning that you would for regular meat, it's, you know, gives you the same sensory experience and everything. You don't have the after your meal haters and being lethargic afterwards. You feel more energized.
So I had the other day for the first time, and I'm so sad that I have to drive so far to get it. But I go to this Right Club in downtown Sacramento, and so that's far for me. But always mm-hmm. before Right Club, I go to this place called the Veg Cafe. And for the first time, I tried their cauliflower momos. Have you heard of cauliflower momos?
No. What are they?
Oh, my gosh. It is basically a buffalo wing, like a chicken
yes.
wing, but it's made right. with cauliflower.
Yes.
And you do it with a pineapple jam and a buffalo wing sauce.
Wow.
Or buffalo hot sauce. Oh, my God.
It's good.
So good. And yes. so we were at a restaurant yesterday and we were, and they had ordered, you know, chicken wings. And I was telling the owner, I'm like, have you ever heard of a cauliflower momo, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I'm actually thinking about getting those in. And I was like, I'm going to be here every day if you do
every
that.
Every day.
Because I think that's what people miss is the sensory experience. Like you're describing, you know, not getting mm-hmm. to have that piece of it. But I made a vegan chili and took it to a shop full of guys. And they scarfed it down. They had yeah. no idea that it was all vegan. I used the Loma brand, and Loma's amazing for like a Beyond Meat product. And then
got it.
And then I went to a Christmas party with like 40 people and brought a fully vegan 7-layer dip.
Oh, that sounds good.
There were 3 other 7-layer dips there, and mine was devoured. I brought blue corn tortilla chips to go with that, and it was gone. It was yeah. made with tofutti for the sour cream and mm-hmm. daiya for the cheddar cheese. I mean, mm-hmm. nobody had an idea, like no idea.
It's just, I think it's just the stigma. I think like many years ago, like when you hear going vegan, you hear like no meat, no cheese, no dairy, no eggs. That's what people hear. And we're so accustomed to cooking with all those foods. And we know that, you know, they provide a lot of fats, and fats help with making things taste better. I mean, it's just as simple as that. Fat helps things make taste better. So we're so used to cooking with all these things that when you hear, okay, well, I can't use any of that stuff, all you end up with is vegetables. And if you're not used to enjoying vegetables in their plain form, it doesn't sound very appealing. Whereas we have to understand that it's possible to replace a lot of the foods that we are usually eating. So yeah. And I know you mentioned, how do you stick to it when it's so difficult? Honestly, to me, it's really a personal journey for anyone who is going on this journey. It's going to be a personal journey. There's going to be days that are going to be easier than others. But what I can guarantee is that over time, how this way of eating makes a person feel is going to be so much more worth it than any food on the planet. I used to love cheese. Like, my background is French. I love cheese. I love all the cheese, pizza, Gruyere, blue cheese, you name it. That was my jam. I loved all the cheese. But then when I was able to eat without any dairy for an extended amount of time, I felt a lot better. And then I wasn't very strict at the beginning with whether I would eat cheese or not. But I did notice that every time I would have a piece, I would feel terrible afterwards. My stomach would hurt, like maybe I get reactions on my face. I would be tired. It wouldn't taste good. I would get sick. It would just be all of those symptoms that are coming down on me. And I'm like, it's not worth it. So now it becomes a lot easier to say no, because I know that by saying no, I'm saying yes to feeling amazing.
That's kind of how I feel about working out too. I mean, for me, I'm not a gym person, never have been. And I'm fairly certain at 40 years old, I probably never will be, but I can create everything that I need to create either via my yoga practice, in the garden, in the yard, hiking, swimming, kayaking. I mean, I do a tremendous amount of outdoor activities, but what I always feel is, even if in the moment I'm like, you know, it's nice and warm sitting here, mm-hmm. when I get out, it's so much better for my mental health, not just my physical health. Like, I come back feeling so rejuvenated and so fresh and so happy I did it. I've never done any form of exercise and gone, man, I wish I didn't do that when mm-hmm. it was done. In the Absolutely. Moment, I've said, I wish I
didn't. But then it's worth it.
But for me, how my clothes feel, and you were talking about this in the very early on in the podcast, is, you know, if my clothes are tight, I'm not having my best day. Like, I'm not having my best day, mm-hmm. No matter how I look at it. Like, if I'm, you know, feeling the pinch of something that didn't used to pinch, yes. I know I need to check myself. I need yes. to, you know, because being able to put on my clothes every day and know that they feel good and know that I feel good is huge for me.
It is huge. It is really huge. I remember, growing up, I was always very self-conscious about my body. And I think I was talking about this with someone yesterday. And I was always feeling very self-conscious about my body. But I would feel very confident in my abilities, whether like my mental abilities to achieve things, to do things, to be successful. I was very confident, but that confidence would just fly away as soon as I step in front of a mirror. I would just feel like, well, you know, you might be good, but you don't look the way that you feel. You don't look good. And I just felt trapped for a very long time. I felt like there was no way, like, I could never get nice things. Like, no matter how hard I tried, the one thing that I wanted, I would never have it because genetics, or it just wasn't in the cards for me. Nowadays, because after I've understood, you know, how to manage my nutrition while still, you know, being a foodie, because I love food, which is why I was struggling with my weight, but still loving food and not being a gym rat and, you know, spending hours at the gym, now I can have a bad day, step in front of a mirror, and get myself lifted up by just saying, you know what, Nina, maybe everything is going wrong right now, but look at yourself, you did this. So take this, be proud of yourself, and stick your head up and keep moving on with your day. Like, that is so powerful.
You are so absolutely right. And on that note, Nina, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. That is absolute perfection. I loved everything that you shared today, and I hope that people feel inspired to start living a slightly healthier life, whatever Absolutely. That may look like for them.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I had really the best of times.
Thanks again, and we'll chat soon.
Awesome.
This has been a BU Find Happy podcast. For more inspiration, check out the links.